Oh yeah.
The on We're the live Mike and Ty Christmas spectacular.
Is anybody even here? I know we said we're going live. Is there people in this room?
There's 10.
Hey. Hey guys.
We haven't gone live in a while.
A long time. In a long time.
Live well, is I'm excited. Fun.
What's that?
Live is fun, but you just can't edit out any of your stupid comments. I'm talking to myself. I'm warning myself.
What's up, Corey? What's up, Schmidt? Yeah, I know. Well, we haven't been editing out much anyway. I feel like we're getting so good now, we don't even edit. Mark, Otto, Loco Car Collector. I've never seen you guys live. Loco Car Collector's never seen us live.
Well, here we are.
That's right. Topps Vintage 316.
I have my Bench Clear hat on today.
Yeah, that sounded really fuzzy. Yeah, that's cool. It's a cool hat. I'm digging it. You've had it for a year, and it's the first time I've seen you wear it.
I wear it.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think about the NFL week? Real quick, agenda for today. We're going to cover a big topic, and it's why you shouldn't panic about sports car prices coming from the prophets of doom, which will be interesting. But we're also going to talk about a lot of holiday stuff. So I'm kind of excited about this.
Do you have our little, our splash page?
Yeah, I do.
Throw that up there just so they, if they don't know what we're talking about, see, we're the prophet. There we are. Bam.
I wish I could erase that picture of you from my mind, but I can't.
I am so bald. It's not even funny.
So bald. Yeah. You make other bald people look like they have a lot of hair.
I know. It's why I wear a hat all the time.
You think that's why you're bald? It's because you wear a hat all the time?
Well, it's chicken and the egg, right? Are you bald because you wore a hat, or do you wear a hat because you're bald? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're the PODs, the prophets of doom.
Are we talking taxes? No, this is the Christmas week. We're not talking taxes. Plus, we don't know what to put you to sleep yet. Are those almond switchblades? Yes, whatever.
I like this. Whatever. Yeah, I was very curious about that. You guys predicted a drop in prices by about 90%. I thought you guys would be gloating now. Should we just get into it, or do we want to talk about other stuff?
Not yet, but okay. To that point, you and I were talking earlier, and we were saying how everywhere you look online now, everyone's like freaking out. What are you going to do? Sports car prices are plummeting. And we're like, we kind of told you guys this like 8 months ago. Now every video is about it. So here we are on the flip side. I'm going to tell you today why you shouldn't panic, but let's talk about the NFL week real quick. I mean,
yeah.
COVID's destroyed all the rosters. NFL basically backed out and said, hey, we're not going to like overreact to this testing. What do you think about the week?
I love that two games today, two games tomorrow, Thursday night football, two games on Saturday. I mean, I'd rather it be spread out, not because you can really do that, but I can't watch all the games on Sunday. So this gives me a chance to tune in to a lot of different things. The playoff picture is, and we got what, 3 weeks left? No, 2 weeks yeah. left. Three no, weeks three. Left. And the playoff picture is becoming muddier by the minute. It'll be very interesting to see how many tiebreakers go into play with the 17 game season. I think it's going to matter a lot that there's an extra game, and we're going to see a lot of tied teams at different spots in the order of sequence. What's funny is, and you got it, we both are pretty happy guys. Chiefs 7-game winning streak, top of the AFC. After starting 3-4, Cowboys, 10-4, second in the NFC right now, and have a chance. Some things have to.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Hey, wait till the Chiefs Cowboys Super Bowl. That'd be a heck of a game.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. If the last matchup was any indication.
What do you think?
No, I thought it was interesting because as you're watching games yesterday, it's like, if the Broncos win this, they knock out the Chargers, and this happens to the Bengals. There's like so many implications. It is very, I love this time of the year. college basketball is hot and heavy. NBA is actually becoming a little bit relevant, and NFL matters. Like, the games matter. I hate seeing like injuries like Godwin going out last night, tearing an ACL with, you know, 3 games left in the regular season. He's had a killer season. Stuff like that's a bummer to see, but I think about it from the terms of like in cards, sports card perspective. Is there anybody that you think is emerging as this guy that you want to start collecting because of this season? Not on the Cowboys. Man,
you know, I'm not a football guy. Like, I have very little interest in collecting football cards. I think they're cool. I think there's a lot of great stuff. I'm actually maybe going to buy a Tom Brady rookie.
Whoa. That's big.
I think his stuff has come down quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Not much. Not much at all.
Well, I'm not going to buy, like, I don't even want to say what I'm going to buy because somebody else will go buy it. But,
well, unless you're buying a one of one, there's going to be plenty out there.
Right.
I just put together an SGC video where I resubmitted. I cracked a bunch of PSA slabs for 8 Tom Brady rookies that I thought for sure were 9s or 10s. And I've been pretty accurate with some of these. You've seen in these videos. And they came back PSA 6s and 7s. And I was ticked. So I cracked them, sent them to SGC. 9s and 10s. Wish I wouldn't have paid the $150 a car for those Tom Brady rookies.
How did Tom Brady rookies sell in the secondary market in SGC slabs versus PSA?
No, I mean, obviously not as good, right? When you get an SGC 10 or SGC 9, it's good enough. Unless you have a Bowman Chrome refractor. It's all good. You know, yeah. It all works out.
Gotcha.
What do you guys think that are watching? I mean, any players that have emerged this year where you're like, okay, this guy's for real. You're going to go out and buy a rookie, or you already have gone out and bought a rookie. I'll name a few that I've already gone out and bought rookies of. Derrick Henry. Cooper Kupp. It's been fun to watch him. I bought more Aaron Rodgers and more Justin Herbert rookies as well. So,
do you have any Micah Parsons rookies yet?
I do not, but I want to get one. So maybe you and I can work out something if you have one.
He's actually the real deal.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. What a year he's having. Good grief. He could win MVP. Like, see, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the league, Jonathan Taylor might win MVP. He still might.
I should know this, but what's the last running back to win MVP?
Last running back to win MVP. Eric Dickerson? Walter Payton? I don't know.
Does he go back that far? No way.
Adrian Peterson, maybe?
Probably AP. Lou Rock might know that. Somebody's got to know that. Last running back to win MVP. Yeah, I can't think of one that comes to mind in the last 20 years. The Saints dude that sacked the GOAT last night. Jamal Lewis? Is it Peterson? Oh, could be LT. If only we had like a website, we could go type in that question and get the answer.
If only.
Tomlinson? Well, you talk for a second. I want to confirm this.
Well, look, get the year too. Like, where I think everybody's guessing. If anybody knows... Oh, Crazy Kev says Peterson in his 2,000 yard season.
Okay. NFL MVP running backs.
Is this a serious question? What about Mac Jones from the Pats? Like, winning MVP?
No, I think he's talking about guys maybe to go buy.
Oh, gotcha.
There's only 18 non-quarterbacks to ever win the MVP. Adrian Peterson in 2012.
Emmitt Smith won it once.
So Adrian Peterson 2012, LT in 2006. Sean Alexander in 2005. Wow, that's a sneaky one you wouldn't have thought of.
Seahawks for the Seahawks. Yeah.
Marshall Faulk in 2000. So there's 4 since 2000. Terrell Davis in 98. Okay, a lot of these names. Barry Sanders in 97. And he shared it with Brett Favre. Anyway, this is not meant to be a trivia night. There you go. Barry Sanders won it with Peyton. Or was it Favre? Anyway, are you watching any NBA at all? I mean, you watch a little bit of your Mavs.
No, they even stink right now. So that's not even fun to watch them. Luka just doesn't look like the same guy. So, I'm following some scores and I know some of the standings and there's some surprise teams to me, but
yeah. Well, we won't dig into NBA too much. I saw Anthony Edwards tossed up here. I have a conversation tonight with Omar from Retro Hoops Collectibles. You'll see an interview with him tomorrow on the channel. And we're talking about the NBA this season. Anthony Edwards is a part of last year's rookie class. Last year's rookie class is sneaky good. I'm telling you. For those NBA fans, it's kind of like been swept under the rug because of the market dropping. But you got like four guys in the top 30 in scoring right now. Pretty cool to see. There's not even a reaction from you.
I could literally not care any less about the NBA and sports cards.
Okay. You're so boring. You're so single threaded.
I know. It keeps me focused, man. Otherwise I'd be crazy. Are you doing any traveling for Christmas? I know you just left. You came down here. What was it? Last weekend? Yeah. Last week. I got to hang out with you. That was fun.
Yeah, second time in Texas in 2 weeks.
That was fun.
We can't talk too much about what we're filming because it's a surprise, but it's a pretty cool little series we're working on. It was good to see you.
Yeah, 100%. It'll be fun. I'm excited about what's happening. What's happening? Yeah. Hot stuff.
Stay tuned. I do not like traveling right now, though. It's not a fun adventure.
Just because of the virus that will not be named?
Yeah, it's not as easy as it used to be. I feel like there's so many shortages with like employees. Everything you do seems hard. There's no seamlessness built into the process anymore, and it's pretty annoying.
Yeah. What else?
Well, I want to show you something. We want the prophets of doom. See, this is going to be hard when we talk about trying to be positive in this whole pricing stuff. People are going to be upset when we flip the script a little bit. But let's talk real quick about top 11 listings in the last week on eBay, sold listings. Any of these names stand out to you? Any of these cards? I mean, the Zion at number one, an ungraded RPA at number to 99. Like, are you kidding me?
That can't
75
be real.
Grand.
That cannot be real.
Can't be. Got to be a fake sell.
I mean, he sells more than Steph Curry. Come on. Give me a break.
Right. 2009 Panini's Rookies and Stars. Blue Steph Curry. Yeah. What's this American Caramel? Babe Ruth.
1921. Just a very famous Ruth card.
Okay. Zion is still a thing.
Everybody's like, what? Zion's still a thing? I like Lou Rock's little avatar thing there. Look at him sitting there all cool with his Yankees cap on, YouTube logo behind him, like he's some YouTube star or something.
Talk about single threaded. Latching onto that YouTube logo. Lewis Hamilton. Tiger Woods Sports Illustrated for Kids, BGS 10. Oh, there's a BGS. We talked about, there's a couple BGSs on here.
There are.
Justin Herbert, RPA 4 color. Josh Allen, Max Verstappen. Three Justin Herberts. Am I seeing that correctly? Two Justin Herberts. What card on this would you, I was going to say, Daniel Larson's already jumping the gun here. Ruth card is the only one I would want. I mean, if you had the cash, which one of these 11 or two of these 11 would you go snag?
I'd want the Ruth.
Okay, other than the Ruth, would you take
the Steph?
Yeah.
You bought a Steph rookie recently. Smart move.
Yeah, I did. I'm not a big fan of the rookies and stars, especially for 70 grand. But man, that Jordan number to 23 auto. Be pretty fun.
Coming to Dallas Card Show. We will be at the Dallas Card Show.
Yes, we will. What's up, Jeremy? You're working on some cool stuff we can't talk about, but I can't wait for you to share it all to the world.
Oh, we're back on screen. Okay. And we're live. We're still live. And there's still people here. What's wrong with them? They have nothing else to do. They're watching football and listening to us.
Let me ask you this, Mike. You've been a month without buying cards.
Yep. More than, yeah.
How hard is it for you to enjoy the hobby without buying cards?
It's definitely harder. It's different. I'm not on eBay. I'm just going to throw this all out there. I probably spent 2 to 3 hours a day on eBay.
Wow. Looking
for cards. And wow. That's probably average. Some days more, some days less. And I was not burnt out. That's not the reason. A liar, a month without cards. So I'm not doing that. And ironically, I'm just doing it like Julie and I are watching a lot of shows, and I'm getting into Yellowstone now, watching Yellowstone and just binging a bunch of stuff and movies. And
so sounds like you're really redeeming your time for some positive things.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, I haven't been playing as much golf. It's been I've been really busy at work, quite frankly, which is sounds like a oxymoron, but that's true.
Yeah. And, well, I was expecting like you to pick up a new hobby or like I'm learning how to work on my car. I'm taking my son out more.
Okay.
To watch more Netflix. Come on.
So we bought a tractor for the ranch. So I've been out. I'm learning how to maintain and fix up this tractor, trying to trick it out a little bit. So that's been fun. I've been out at the ranch a lot. And like tomorrow night, I'm going to see the new Spider-Man movie with my son. I've already seen it. He hasn't. So I'm going to go see it with him. Been doing some knitting. Yes. And then, gosh, Wednesday, we're going to Six Flags, which, you know, an amusement park. They have Holiday in the Park. So we're going to go do that Wednesday night. So I'm doing other stuff. Pimp my tractor. That's right.
That's fair.
Yeah. But here, Christmas Eve, it's supposed to be 80 degrees and Christmas Day, 77 degrees on Christmas Day.
Well,
yeah.
We got 3 feet of snow in the last week. And this weekend, I had to plow my driveway 3 times on Saturday because we got almost 2 feet in 12 hours. So yeah, the complete opposite end of the spectrum for me. And I love our world and you love your world, which is funny. That's funny, funny, funny stuff. How we're still friends. I don't know. So on the plane, they were offering on the American Airlines media portion, like you could watch Ted Lasso. And I've been hearing about Ted Lasso forever, for a few years. I am hooked on Ted Lasso. Oh my gosh.
I've heard it's great. I don't have Apple TV, so it's weird how you have to have all these different subscriptions, Paramount and Peacock and Apple and Netflix. And I mean, by the time you're done, you've got a whole package of, you're spending as much as you used to spend on your cable bill and everybody wants to unplug and all that, but oh well, everybody's wanting us to get to the,
they're like enough small talk.
Yeah. Stop it.
This is not small talk. This is On the Fly with Mike and Ty. We have literally no agenda in front of us.
That's why it's called On the Fly. We're doing this on the fly. But the topic du jour, prices.
Yeah, 73 in Florida. And Mark says that they're not getting as much in Montana. Mark, where are you in Montana? What part of Montana? Are you northern, southern? Yeah, and I agree. Ted Lasso is worth the subscription. It's a little raunchy with like the language, definitely not a family show, but, man, you just got to watch it, Mike. I think you would be hooked in a sec.
Well, I like Jason Sudeikis, so
yeah, he's legit, man. I'm super impressed with him.
Yeah. And he was married to Olivia Wilde, not anymore, but he was, she's not ugly.
She's not. Bozeman. Okay, gotcha. Cool. We'll have to meet up when there's a Bozeman show. We gotta hook up. Be fun.
Have you stopped yourself from going on eBay? I just don't. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I just don't go on eBay. It's really not, surprisingly, not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
Well, it's easier for you because you're not selling stuff. Like, I feel like it's when you're selling stuff and you get notifications, you're already on there. And so you find ways to look at other cards.
Yeah.
And this right there. Can't.
And there's that. And there's that.
Yeah, it's a balmy 8 degrees here in Minnesota.
Burr.
All right. So New York Yanks fan, teed us up. So are people really panicking about current card prices? What's your answer to that, Mike?
If you scour the YouTube landscape, you would think the sky was falling. There's a lot of videos of people, you know, talking about price drops and, oh my goodness. And so that's what's happening. Do you agree with that? That people are doing videos about that?
I do. I think a majority of videos right now are about the prices and how to respond and figure out how to like adjust your collecting style for a declining market. And here's my thesis on this. And this is what our overarching theme is today. And that is, I think people were seeing this shift from like overreacting a year ago when everyone's like, it's going to the moon, there's no stopping it, to this overreacting on the decline. Because there is a complete lack of context in the media portion of the sports card market. I think the people that have flooded into the hobby they have such a narrow view of the hobby. And this is what we've said for a while, that they don't realize like this little blip that we've had the last 18 months is really the only time this has ever happened in the market. And so all they know is this nonstop train of prices. And now they're like, wait a second, I can't just go wait in line at Walmart or Target and make money of 40% when I get home, or I can't go buy a player and he scores 40 points and it doubles in price. Like, that's never been the norm in the hobby, ever. You actually have to work to make money in the hobby. And now people are realizing it. And so they're overreacting. They don't know what to do because they lack context.
Yeah, their history in the hobby is so short that. And I think Vince said it perfectly here. The COVID clowns are definitely in panic mode. If you have people that came in during COVID, there's this, I know you love me saying recency bias. There's a recency bias towards things that have happened recently. And so that's what they just expect, that to continue in perpetuity. And I'm sorry, it doesn't. It's like any other market. When things get overhyped, over talked about, when they're talking about it on regular news shows and whatever, that's when you should start going, yeah, we might be in a little bit of a bubble here. It's not shocking. Like, none of this is surprising. And as Lou Rock said a little bit ago, I love the drop. I do too. It's a shame I'm not buying anything right now, but and this too, you see a lot of creators are AWOL. They don't have anything to talk about because they are unable to buy and flip and make, you know, 100% in 4 hours or something, buying a card on one end of the floor and selling it on the other end of the floor. So that stuff just isn't happening as much. And so you're seeing these, I guess, COVID clowns or whatever, having a hard time.
Here you go. You're a YouTube veteran. It's a great question. Are the people that are overreacting the newcomers and not the hobby vets?
I'm not worried about it. If that's what Saul is asking.
Loco wants to trap us. That's okay. Crazy card collector. Why did we predict a 90% drop in most cards? That does not happen in most markets. Well, you know what doesn't happen in most markets? It exploding 150% in like 2 months. That doesn't happen either. So,
right.
I think we were just saying, hey, this is very unnatural. It's going to resettle very quickly, and you're in for a rude awakening. Mike?
No, I'm Dip Proof, Ruth, Gehrig, Cobb, Walter Johnson, Maddie, Wagner. Rick, I don't know that that's true that they're dip proof. They are certainly more resistant to that, and they're certainly not going to drop as far. And Loco Card Collectors, I think, trying to bait us into whatever, but into an argument here. But the point is, we didn't say all cards were going to drop by 90%. We said some cards, some of the ultra modern stuff, as more and more slabs start coming out and there's more supply, and that supply overwhelms demand, you're going to see prices go down. It's simple economics. And he's Game Time Gallery is totally right.
Yeah.
We're not worried a bit. I don't care.
100%.
It's literally no big deal. In fact, I go great. I love that.
on paper.
Yeah. I did it, and I lost 50 grand on paper on my top 100 cards, maybe. I can't remember what I did that recently for my year end, top 50 cards in my collection video. And they were down from the peaks 50 to 60 grand. So what? I wasn't selling them anyway. I don't go, I missed out, or I wish I would have sold them and then bought them back. No, I don't say any of that, because that just sounds like a big pain in the rear to go through all of that. And good luck guessing. Good luck guessing the peak. That's true in any market. If we could all do that, we'd be geniuses and we'd all be rich, filthy rich, or I would anyway. I can't do that. No one else can. You're crazy if you say you think you can, because it's just not true. You'll get lucky. It doesn't mean you won't get lucky and sell at a peak. And you also won't buy at the bottom. By the way, there will be a bottom under your bottom of what you think. Man, they're never getting any cheaper than this.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath.
So back to the point, I think people overreacted. They're overreacting now. But in the grand scheme of things, there's nothing to worry about with sports cards, because like we've already heard here multiple times from people, this is the way it's been for 40, 50 years. Like a steady increase. If you want to make money, and that's totally fine, I'm in it to make money and collect. You're in it to collect, not make money. There's all kinds of different breeds of collectors. You have to work to do it. And now people are realizing, gosh, dang, this takes some work. Always been that way in the hobby.
Yeah.
Go work for it. Go learn it. There's a lot of opportunities in this hobby.
But if you come into the hobby and all the low-hanging fruit, it's like walking into an orchard and you can just pick all the apples you want. You don't have to climb any trees to get them. Now all the low-hanging fruit is gone. It's been taken away by prices dropping and increasing in retail prices. Like, you've seen both, right? Prices have dropped, and you have to go pay $35 for a blaster now instead of 20. And so that's eating into a lot of that profit.
Very true. Let's add a couple of these comments into the conversation. So you and I have talked a lot about economic factors, because that's our backgrounds.
Right.
And I think it obviously played into it, but I don't think economic factors have played into prices as much as we think right now. And when people ask, okay, are prices bottoming in sports cards? I think prices bottom in sports cards because of the sports card market settling. Now, where prices go the next few months, I think really is reliant on what the economy does.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary to think about, that it's some other factor, outside factors. It's not just people being excited about the hobby.
Yeah.
But they're for real. I've talked about inflation being a factor. It's real. Less discretionary income for people, because they're having to buy things they have to, means less money for cards, which means I buy less stuff. And, I haven't been able to buy the cards that I wanted to back when I was buying cards because of prices. And so I said, I'm just going to be patient. I said that I don't know how many times on videos. Just be patient. This will all be okay. It's going to change. And it's funny, because people didn't want us to say things like that, because we were being negative, or that first of all, the idea that we would have any influence on the actual hobby market. There's 68 people watching. Look, we're not influencing the hobby market, but I can look and evaluate and bring my experience to bear on a situation and go, yeah, this is probably not sustainable.
Yeah.
And that's just logic. I mean, isn't it, Ty?
Can I buy don't get me started on Pelican cases. By the way, the 68 people in the room, we thank you so much for watching us live. We really do appreciate you. If you hit the like button, more people might actually watch us. So feel free to do that if you or dislike us. By the way, do you like the new dislike thing where you can't see how many people dislike you? That's got to make you sleep better at night, not knowing how many people dislike your videos, Mike.
Oh, my gosh. well, I can still see it on my studio. It's just the whole the rest of the world can't see it. So I honestly, my dislikes have gone down tremendously because I think people just don't even bother. If they're not adding to the pain publicly for someone by being douchebags, they don't hit dislike. But
yeah,
I'm sure we'll have a few right now that, since we've just talked about this, it'll hit the dislike button. But
yeah, it's okay. If you don't like it, be honest. The Kuderlev comment there, that's a good one. The hobby is stable. The investor market is declining. Glad to see it in the tide turning in the favor of collectors. I think that's part of the ebb and flow of the market, right? You're going to get the little bubbles where investors kind of take over and it benefits the collectors. And then when the investor market dies off, you know who it benefits? It benefits the collectors again. So like the true collectors, if they're patient and they figure out ways to collect the right way, always kind of benefit.
Yeah. I think the super high end though is going to always continue to skew the market.
Yeah.
You know, these super high end cards that are selling for millions of dollars, everybody's going to go, well, it's okay. We'll go try to buy a PSA 7, you know, Bob Gibson or something.
Yeah.
It's probably not doing a whole lot one way or another. You know, it's
very true. To that point, I think we continue to see like the super high end. Some of you guys have been talking about the short printed stuff, like the really high end stuff is continuing to go up. I think it continues to go up mainly because of the fractional market. And I don't think the fractional market's going anywhere. I think that's here to stay. And that's probably going to only become more sophisticated in the next few years. So
I think that's a very valid point that Corey's making here. If you think 2019 plus 20% or so, that's probably when you should just start, you know, going crazy and going on a buying spree because I'm hoping that happens around next May, which is when I'll start buying cards again. But maybe sooner if I can get some things done, but get some things paid off. But yeah.
Where do you think there's some really good comments about opportunities in the market? You're not buying, but I'm curious to know what everyone thinks about opportunities. Like maybe now until let's say March or April, where do you see the best opportunities? I think golf is a really good one. I think Tiger Woods rookies are dirt cheap right now. Even if he doesn't win another Masters, I think it's just dirt cheap stuff for an icon, especially with his son coming up. I think that same way LeBron will probably be helped by, you know, Bronny playing. I think it's going to help Tiger. What about other things that are kind of obscure, like wrestling or F1? Do you get into that stuff, Mike?
No, but I think there's opportunities in baseball coming up in the next month to 6 weeks. As long as this, you know, work stoppage continues, people are going to sour on baseball quick. There is no question that people are just going to start, screw baseball, you know, and they're going to start dumping baseball stuff. So you might see Acuna, Soto, you know, kind of those Vlad, Tatis, modern, ultra modern stuff really start taking a hit just because people are, you know, just sick of the fighting between the players union and the owners. And that would be good times to pick up those cards. I did a video a couple of weeks ago about those four guys. Like if I was to buy four modern guys, ultra playing now guys, those would be the guys I would be buying. I don't know which one of the four is going to have the best career. I think it's Soto, right? If I had to pick one now, I'd pick Soto, but I don't know that. And so I'd kind of be buying all four of them if I could, if I felt like it.
Yeah. Good point there, Daniel. A lot of these cards are back to 2019 prices. And I think that's a very, very realistic floor. I'm buying Otani. Yeah. I'm with you. So I was talking to a guy, a very big collector, this past week. I was on site working out some stuff with him, and he's done really well. Financially, he's done really well for himself outside of cards, but in cards, he's just killed it the last 5 or 6 years. And I said, man, what is your strategy? Like, boil it down to a simple formula for me so I can help others. And he said, my formula is so simple, Ty. He goes, I literally pick the top two players in every sport every year. And I put $5,000 or $10,000 in their premier rookies, preferably numbered. And that's all I do. And then about 3 years after the rookie year, I sell off and I put it towards that next year's rookie cards. And he, I mean, the numbers, I'll break down the numbers in a separate video, but he's just made money hand over the over fist. And he's built this collection of stuff that he basically built from profits. And it's just a simple formula. That's how he processes the hobby. And it's super, super simple. I love it.
That is so smart. Corey has another smart idea. Autographs. They haven't gone up like graded card. He's totally right. I follow the autograph market more than I follow the graded card market, honestly. And getting autographs of guys, greats, you know, and whatever. Man, been buying 35 Wheaties. You got some Wheaties cards.
Yeah, man.
Got some Wheaties cards. Mike, I know you're a high... I'm not a high-end vintage collector. I'm a...
You're a high-volume vintage collector.
I am. I'm definitely not high-end. How does it make you feel when prices come way down, knowing you could have cashed out on top? I think I already answered this, but I don't care. I wasn't trying to cash out. Knowing I could have, I don't want to cash out. Why?
Well, so let me stop you there. Let me stop you there because I think it's a fair question, though, because let's say you believed what you said and you knew you could sell your cards at prices that were going to come down. Why would you not sell, take the $50,000 in profit and rebuy those cards later? Did that ever cross your mind? I know it did because we talked about it, but you didn't want to put in the work. Is that why?
It crossed my mind. I didn't want to go through. I didn't want to. Because then I thought, every time I thought about selling my Mantle rookie, I thought, God, but then I won't have a Mantle rookie. But Mike, you can buy one later. Can I? Maybe. The thing is, you don't know. Yeah. We thought what we thought just from experience. We didn't know that was what's going to happen. I'm not, you know, traveling. I'm not, you know, Michael J. Fox in a DeLorean, you know, traveling to the future and telling you, coming back and with my little sports card, sports magazine and predicting scores.
Yeah.
We don't know. And hindsight's this wonderful teacher of going, well, of course I would, you know, but I had no interest in that, like zero interest in doing that. If I knew it was 100% certainty, yeah, of course, I'd probably do it. If I knew I could, yep, sell my Mantle, go buy another one in a few months, yeah, I'd probably do it. But you don't know.
You don't know. Ron Perry, I think that's a great point. We've talked about this a little bit. Disposable income. I don't think people realize how much the impending changes, the tax rules, will affect their disposable income. It's going to be pretty nasty.
Yeah, I'm already prepping for it. I'm socking away extra money, knowing I'm about to get just kicked in the shorts tax-wise. Not excited about it.
Kicked in the golf shorts.
While I'm playing golf, I'll be thinking about how much taxes I have to pay. Did you hear Elon Musk today?
Yeah, good point, Loco. No, I did not. What did he say today?
You know, he's ribbing on tax changes, mainly because he's like, he said, he put it out on Twitter. I'm going to pay $11 billion in taxes this year. I don't care how rich you are. That's a lot of money. That's not. If he's worth $100 billion, that's still too much. That's just ridiculous. Because there's a difference between net worth and income. And I think people don't, if you're worth a lot of money, that doesn't mean you have a lot of money. His is all tied up in stock options with Tesla. And like, he had to sell a bunch of Tesla stock just to be able to pay his tax bill.
Yeah.
And that's like, well, wait a second. Having a lot of money and making a lot of money, two very different things.
Very true.
Wealth and income are different. So to tax somebody on their wealth, it just seems like I'm penalizing you for being smart with your money. Congratulations. Like, wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question I asked earlier, just about opportunities in the market, what I struggle with is, I think there's opportunities like in golf and other cards, but the people gravitating towards like WWE or like go grade WNBA cards because it's untapped. I think people forget how hard it is to build up demand in some of these segments of the market. Like without that demand, it's so hard to move things. If you're trying to like move things, like it's hard enough to build up demand for a top rookie in basketball and football, let alone a WNBA star. Like it's just not going to happen.
A pop one of a card that nobody wants is congratulations, a paperweight. Yeah. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if nobody wants it. And yep. I think that the whole plus grading, you know, for you couldn't do that like you could through 2020.
Yep. Right.
You could do that and at $10 a card, swing all you want, you know, at the PSA wheel, you know, spin it as many times as you want. And you're going to probably be okay. It's the law of high numbers, right? If you do enough of it, you're going to be right occasionally, and it's going to pay for all the times you were wrong. You can't do that now at $100 a card or $150 a card. I'm sorry. Yeah,
you can't.
It's just not as much.
Yeah. Daniel, I agree with you there. Bill, totally agree. I've been saying this for a while. Like the 90s stuff is killer. It's extremely hot right now. I'm getting so many views on certain 90 stuff I'm putting out there, especially rare stuff. I don't know what it is. I'm curious to know, Bill, what you think for others that collect 90 stuff. Why is there this continued demand? Is it our age group just continues to stick to that era that we know, or is it people kind of leaving modern and going to the late 90s?
I think it's the people. Think about what demographic. I'm a 90s kid. I graduated high school in 92. Me and younger, right? Your age and younger, the 90s was when you were a kid collecting, right? Or a young adult. Now, those kids are now at a point where they're having nice jobs and making more money, and they're wanting to go back and buy those cool cards they could never afford as a kid. It's just like we felt I felt about the 80s like that. I own the, you know, Don Mattingly Tiffany rookie or whatever that I could never afford, but the Kirby Puckett 84 Fleer update, and I could never afford those cards before. But now, I'm at a point where I want to go back and buy some of my childhood again, and that's a real thing. It's not and there's just so much of it in the night. Unlike the 80s, where there was Topps, Fleer, and Donruss for most of the 80s, right? You didn't have tons of cards. There weren't inserts. There weren't, you know, cool parallels and stuff that all started coming around in the 90s. And there's so many cool cards in the 90s. So much shine, so much bling, gorgeous stuff. People are just going, I just want stuff that I couldn't get. You agree with that? It's happening?
I do. I agree with Schmidt, too. I think people are realizing that there's just some incredibly beautiful cards. And yeah, there's a lot of it, like you said, but there's also a lot of severely short printed stuff, and there's a ton of demand for it. And so it's squeezing the prices, and that stuff, those are the type of cards like the, was it 97, 96 Topps Chrome Refractor Griffey. You know, I recently picked one of those up raw. You saw it.
97,
right? The first refractor, Topps refractor of a Griffey or of anybody from MLB. Those cards, there's not a lot of them, but they're in a super high demand and people want that stuff. It's the reason why it sells for $800 raw. That stuff's going to be bought and slipped away, just like vintage. That's going to be vintage 20 years from now for some of the modern collectors.
Yeah. Especially the, like you said, the rarer parallels, they're, you know, legacy collection and Flair or, you know, anything something numbered to 100 from the 90s is like a one of one today. Right. Because a lot of them have been sucked up since the 90s. And so there's very few of them actually, you know, in the wild that you could go purchase. So, and the ratios were tough, like Lou's saying, totally.
Yeah exactly. The inserts were the hits. That's a really good point. That's when like die cuts were the thing.
I love die cut cards. Hardest extra grade, but man, I love them.
Especially basketball with like the finest and the chrome refractor die cuts, man. Like those get me excited. It was a 96. Okay. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes. Henry. That's my world for sure. Yeah, the 90s inserts of Kobe and Jordan and Iverson. I just sold a black diamond die cut number to 100 Iverson, and I was thinking it was going to be 150, 200 bucks. It went for $400, and it was like the most watched card that I had in my store for the last month.
Yeah.
Thinking, my gosh. Yeah, there you go. The Elite Series, and a lot of those Elite Series, almost all of them are numbered. Which, even if they're numbered to 2,500, people still grab it. People want to know that it's numbered to 2,500. Like, the PSA pop on some of the current cards is 25,000. Like, I'll take a 2,500
right.
Elite Series.
Yeah, I bought a 93 Finest Refractor, Tony Gwynn, just because I loved it. You know, I don't collect Tony Gwynn per se, but I love cool baseball cards. Like, it's like, and that happened in the 90s a lot. You see Jordan stuff, and doesn't even have to be Jordan. You know, it can be another great of the Hakeem Olajuwon or David Robinson, or
yeah,
pick your player, and you go, wow, that's a very cool insert. It doesn't have to be the top guys. That's true in baseball too.
Yeah.
You want the Jeters and the Griffies and the, but you can get some of those second tier guys, and they have a loyal following, you know, of player collectors that are out there.
For sure. In that era, right? The Chipper Jones, the Piazzas, the Frank Thomases. There's so many of those names where you have, like, you're right, the PC guys who will do whatever it takes to get those cards.
Yeah.
People forget the 93 Finest. Well, we don't forget that, but the 93 Finest Refractor had a print one of what, 240? 241? Wasn't it something
241.
Super low?
I think they are the most beautiful baseball cards ever produced.
Yeah. Best era of licensed competitive creativity. Ooh, that's good. I didn't even know that. I don't do Facebook, so.
Isn't it amazing how economics works even in sports cards in the terms? And what I'm talking about is competition breeds awesomeness. If you know you're competing, if it's just Tops, and not here to rag on Tops, but if it's just Tops doing MLB cards,
yep,
or in the future, just Fanatics, what inspiration / incentive do they have to create really cool designs and cards and be creative and think outside the box and make a card that looks like, I'm thinking of old Ultra inserts that look like hitting machines, and it had gears that were all die cut, you know, and all these crazy things they came up with.
Yeah.
If it's just you, what incentive do you have to be creative? Zero. That's what, well,
so back in the late 90s, it was Topps, obviously. Bowman was not owned by Topps at that point, were they?
They were. They've been owned by Topps since the late 50s, mid to late 50s.
Okay, for some reason I thought they split for a bit there, but no? Okay, so Bowman's always been Topps. So you really didn't have a lot. I'm thinking of like refractors and stuff. You had, that technology was basically exclusive to Topps.
Well, no, you had Upper Deck.
But there wasn't, like, the chrome refractor technology was kind of just Topps for a while.
Right, but they came up, like, Score came up with Dufex, and, you know, Panini called it Prism. You know, Upper Deck had their own, you know, they all used similar type. How can we make these cards shinier, prettier, different?
Right.
And, man, I do miss Upper Deck. Their cards,
I do too.
Fantastic. Baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
Their designs were amazing.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, Chris, I just put this up there, but the drop off from the elites is pretty enormous. Like, you look at the Kevin Garnett's a great example. Those were great players. I'm really surprised with the drop off being so substantial. Rookies I picked up and I'm like, what the heck, man? These are so cheap.
But there's also, you know, the numbered inserts from that time. Those are still in demand. Maybe not at Kobe and LeBron prices, but Hot Gloves Baseball. Yes.
How does Grady Griffey? Did I show you that Griffey I found?
No.
At Hot Gloves? Oh, my gosh.
It's awesome.
My boys are like, is that a cool card? I'm like, guys, this is an insanely cool card.
So what does that mean, do you think, given what we've talked about tonight, our thoughts, What does that mean? What do you think the next 6 months look like?
So I think the silver lining in all of this, one, don't lose context. Like, look at it, the grander picture. Yes, prices fell, but they needed to fall. It put the hobby back into a good spot. I think it actually helped the hobby considerably, because the people that are coming back, or that it came back, they're realizing moderns is overprinted. Ultramoderns overprinted beyond belief. And so what are they doing? They're going back into the late 90s. They're going back into the early 2000s and saying, you know what? I love cards again. Let's go back and find the cards that have some meaning, have some scarcity, and it's driving prices. It's creating stability there. I think overall, it's a great thing. It's a great time to be in the sports card market. And I'm excited. I'm actually excited to see what 2022 brings. I really am. I genuinely think the reset was a very big, very important step for the hobby.
The Great Reset. That's a great name for what happened.
Don't type that into YouTube. You're gonna get really discouraged.
Right. The thing I hope for is I want the hobby to grow too. I think everybody genuinely wants the hobby to grow. I think it's just fun that way.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't want to see is the COVID clowns, as Vince called them, the people that have come in the hobby the last 18 months, to get discouraged.
Yeah.
And say, well, this is just a losing proposition, I'm out. And so it's kind of this, you may have got in to make money. I hope they stay in because they love the hobby, that, you know, and they've rekindled something that they enjoy, and realizing it's a hobby. Not that people can't make money in hobbies, but that it is still a hobby. Mm-hmm. And to enjoy that for what it is and just kind of be realistic about things. I think we are going to settle over the next 6 months. The player strike in baseball really matters. Like, people, I hope people don't undersell this. It's big deal. If the strike goes into the season, not good for baseball, for especially modern baseball cards. But I just hope that, you know, I think you'll see a stabilization. Like somebody said earlier, I can't remember the deal, you know, 20 to 30% above where we were, say, in 19. I think that's a place to settle and feel like, okay, we're still higher than we were, you know, in terms of pricing. But I don't see a whole lot of major hobby panic happening over the next few months that makes things just crater continue, you know. Because yeah, that will stop too, just like the price is going up. Sorry. That's going to stop too. It's going to bottom out and everything will be okay.
Yeah. Well, we've already said there's been segments of the market that have gone up despite the market as a whole going down. There's been some really good comments in here. 97 Griffey International Refractor, that Bowman's Best, the American flag one, is incredible. Sexy card. Penny sleeves may cost a penny again in 2022.
Let's hope so.
If 2021 was a crash, what would be the term for 2022? I'm going to say that the term will be, the phrase will be, where does the dust finally settle? That's what I think of 2022. What's the new foundation? That's a cooter. That's an outstanding point. I don't think the excitement around card shows is going to die down. I think that is a new normal. And this is a great reason why. Cash deals, Venmo deals.
Yeah.
That's where you escape these taxes.
Versus eBay deals, PayPal, getting 1099s, all of that stuff. But you also see, I think, shifts to other platforms, these other MySlabs and CardFlip and places like that, where you can go sell your cards and you're not going to get a 1099, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Sharpshooter, that's a great question. I'll let Mike answer this because it's something I've been thinking a lot about, because I have some bigger cards now finally worthy of an auction house. Tell me what you think about that,
Mike. Yeah. Because the super uber rich people that want to buy those cards don't go on eBay every day and are looking for them. It's just that simple. They're so rich, they don't have time to go on eBay every day. They're doing other things to make lots of money. They'll go to an auction, or the reality of it is The rich people aren't even placing their own bids. They have somebody else buying the cards for them. That's the truth. And they aren't buying. They're not putting the bids in for themselves. They have some lackey that's doing that for them. And I want that card.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or they're calling the auction house going, hey, this is Joe Rich Dude. And I want to put a bid in on this card. And here's my number, you know, so that's all happening. And that's why, because they're not looking at the other platforms to try to find those same cards, period.
Mm.
And I think you're going to see a narrowing of that. I think you're going to see Golden and Heritage and the bigger auction houses continue to gain market, like really just take a stranglehold on it.
Yeah. Agreed. Some outstanding comments, by the way. We need to do live episodes more. I love seeing the intelligence of our subscribers.
Audience. Yeah. The live interaction is fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Bill, you summed up perfectly. Okay. So shift topics real quick. If I was thinking about this earlier, Puppy Chow, you know what Puppy Chow is, right?
Sure.
Rice checks, rice yeah. checks with the powdered sugar.
Yep.
I think that's the perfect holiday treat. If they could just fix the messiness of the powdered sugar.
So I
was, the drivers are like plummeting up.
I know. Right. We went from card prices to this. I was a big Chex Mix, peanuts, pretzels and stuff. And my mom would make it with Worcestershire sauce and some other, like, it would be like, I don't know what we called it. It was just like a super salty goodness. I don't know. I know it sounds gross, but it
sounds so gross.
It was so good.
What is, for those that are here, what is your favorite holiday treat? Like that you have to have every year to feel like it's the Christmas season. Mine's Puppy Chow, and mine are the like the sugar cookies with the Hershey Kiss in the middle.
Mm, can't go wrong with that. I like the I like the sugar cookies with the, they now do them with Reese's peanut butter cups in the middle. Those are pretty awesome.
Ooh, homemade sausage balls. Mike's mom's version is to die for.
See, Jim knows what I'm talking about. I don't know the name of it. Maybe Jim does. I don't know what they call it.
Carlisle, I can get behind that too, for sure. Homemade maples. Okay.
You know, it's funny. Eggnog, I drink eggnog during the holidays. It's really not that good. But for some reason, I'll drink it. And they now have Fireball eggnog at the stores. That's pretty awesome. Oh, there you go. Irish coffee and spiked eggnog. So,
Oreo bonbons. Oh, sorry. I clicked you there. Apple cider with rum. There's a lot of alcoholic beverages making the top of the list here.
We used to call IG Bridge Mix. Okay.
Interesting. Pecan pie.
Do you still like the pecan whiskey? Oh my gosh. I drink it every weekend now. It's a pecan praline whiskey, actually. Did I give you any of that when you were here, Ty?
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, maybe I hadn't discovered it yet, but
I was just here last week. So no,
I mean, at my house, you weren't at my house last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, you've been telling me about it for a while though. I do want to try it with you.
It is. I mean, just a great sipping whiskey on the rocks or neat, either way. So awesome. I know.
Okay, it's so we got some eggnog lovers here. Okay, so here's an alcoholic related question. How many times have you figgy pudding? What the hell? Yeah, exactly. How many times have you made a stupid purchase because maybe you've been intoxicated too much? Sports
cards. How many times? Sports cards? Sports card purchase? Maybe only a couple, honestly. Okay. I don't drunk eBay search and stuff. Because that doesn't happen very often, honestly. I think I can count on two fingers the number of times I've been intoxicated this year. So it's not like I'm out drunk typing in, you know. Besides, wouldn't you get bad searches if you can't even type because you can't see straight and you're typing in, you know, some dude's name that doesn't exist?
Yeah, very true. That actually might help lead you to a mislabeled auction. You know, you get a good deal.
Right. Like, I didn't even know that was out there. Somebody else was drunk when they were putting their listing in there, and I was able to pick it up.
Do you spell Antetokounmpo with 7 M's or 6 M's?
Oh, man.
I will not post that comment. I bought a lot of cars. Yeah, right. In the airport, I've done that a few times, just sitting there lonely, bidding on cards.
Now, board eBay buying happens a lot. You know, I'm just kind of bored and I start just, oh, well, let me look for this. And oh, that's great. Let me get that. Yeah. So that does happen.
If sports in the world get shut down again, will prices rise? I don't think it'll happen the second time.
The world's not going to get shut down again.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen. There is so much fatigue in society over the world getting shut down. And I think we're all like, oh, yeah, everybody didn't die. Let's not shut everything down. So I just don't think it's going to happen. There you go.
No one's ever picked up a Yastrzemski drunk yet.
That's right. Hey, we got some clever commenters out there.
There you go. Yeah, I'm excited about the Matrix coming out.
2 days. 2 days.
That's one. If we were together in the same city, you and I'd be go watching.
Yeah,
you'd get the theater watching it. You know. On that note, it's been real. Let's do this. Let's do this more often. Thank you so much, subscribers, for an awesome year. Thanks for supporting us. We really do appreciate you. It's really fun to talk about sports cards and have you part of it. So thank you for that.
All right. See ya.
That's it. That's literally what you're going to end this with.
Keep collecting.
Oh gosh. I set you up. Sentimental ending.
My bad.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.